karpas. Karpas literally means celery. We take a green vegetable, but some places will serve you potatoes. They don't know this, so don't say anything. But we take a green vegetable, we will dip it in salt water, and we will make believe that we're having our meal. And the child's going to say, what's going on here? And we're going to make a blessing of borei peri adama on this vegetable, and have in mind that our borei peri adama will also cover our maror. Gentlemen, we have three bowls of salt water. You're welcome to pass them down. Now, according to the Gra, you're supposed to eat the volume bigger than a kezayit. Our custom is not like the Gra. However, you guys might be very hungry when you get to the Seder. So your hosts are not expecting you to eat a large volume of vegetables. But if you lucked out and your host and everyone there is eating a large volume of the vegetable, you can rely on the Gra and eat more of the vegetables. But the custom is, most Jews do not go like the Gra. We eat less than the volume of a kezayit. And in the long run, that's the habit you should get accustomed to. So we dip the vegetable in salt water. We will make a blessing of borei peri adama, and have in mind our maror. Most of you will eat for maror the leafy vegetables that you have behind you in that tray. Some of you will join me in eating the horseradish, manning it out. Yeah, tough it out. Yeah. Okay.
We're already going to have to do it twice.
Karpas literally means celery. Okay, so we hold it in our right hand. I'm a lefty, that's why it's in my left hand. And we make the blessing borei peri adama, and have in mind the pepper we're eating and the maror we will eat later on in the meal. Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam borei peri adama.
Amen.
Okay. Now, yishkoach for those who got the peppers, yishkoach for those who cut them, and yishkoach for those who made the salt water. Now, the next thing we need is a bag.
Do we have a bag here? Let them come on. We have a cleaning bag. Oh! Who's this stuff?
His bag is for you.
Good.
Okay.
Karpas, yachas, bagi, matza, motzi, batza, maror, orech, shulchan, orech, tzavim, orech,
We usually have a very fancy bag for our afikoman.
Ooh.
We'll have to use your imaginations, okay?
Yes. What's it supposed to be?
Actually, someone has a nice film bag. It looks like a film bag. No, we won't get yours dirty. I'm just telling you, you should know what it's supposed to look like.
You put it in here.
It's supposed to be a very fancy felt bag or something. And sometimes we use a pillowcase. Okay, so what we are doing is, when we begin the Magid, so it says that the matzah in Torah is called Ha Lachma Anya, right? It says the matzah is called Lechem Oni. Why is matzah called Lechem Oni? So one interpretation says that the matzah is really poor. You know, matzah is made of two ingredients, flour, water, no spices, no flavors, just flour and water. The other interpretation says we eat it like poor men. A poor man is quick to make his bread because he doesn't have a lot of firewood. He works with his wife, and they can't afford to keep the oven running for too long. So that's how we make our matzah quickly, tuk 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 tuk, right from the time the flour hits the water. Another interpretation is lechem shonim alav dvarim arbe, that the matzah, we're going to say over the matzah all of our magid. When you want to say magid, you want to tell over the story of the Pesach. You have to show the child. You see this? Listen here, son. You see this? This is how we ate in Egypt. We'd have small pieces. We'd save the rest of it. We'd put it away and say, who knows if I'm going to have food tomorrow. I better watch over that. Put the piece away. And this matzah, this broken matzah in my fancy bag, this represents what the Jews had in Egypt. This afikoman. Okay, so this matzah that I'm saving, this represents the afikoman. This broken matzah, over this I'm going to tell you the story tonight. Halach ma'anya, this poor man's bread. Diachalu avatana be'arad demitraim. You know, this is what our forefathers ate in Egypt. They didn't have really good bread. So our Magid begins with this. Now for the children, this is the beginning of excitement. This is where they're going to run and try to grab this from my hand and steal it. And at the end of the Seder, when I have to eat this, I'm going to bargain with them. And I'll say, hey, you know, that matzah is so precious to me. It represents everything we discussed tonight. I'm willing to give you something for that matzah. What do you want? So this one asks for a new dal, and that one asks for a new set of machzorim, and that one asks for, who knows, you know, each kid has what they bargain for. Okay, fine. So we break the matzah, and now that I have broken matzah in front of me, this broken matzah really represents the matzah of the mitzvah. This matzah represents our suffering in Egypt. And now that we have broken matzah, I can begin my magid, because we said one interpretation in Lechem Oni is that I will tell over, I will be oneh, I will answer your questions, Bezrat Hashem, and tell over the story of Pesach over my broken matzah, over this poor man's bread. So now we open our Haggadah to magid, and we are prepared to begin the biblical mitzvah of the night, the night of Pesach, the mitzvah of telling over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Hi, Benny.
Hello.
Yes.
This is kind of a very technical question, but when you're telling over the story to your kids, should you make it more to seem like play the bit that, like, I was around when the dinosaurs were around?
Yeah. They won't believe you, and it's fine, but it makes it alive for them.
I'm saying as opposed to, I'm saying from our perspective, it was way back when.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll discuss it. Depends on the child. But in general, we discuss it as though it happened to me. Yeah.
What does afikoman mean? Does it have a translation?
Yes. Afikoman means dessert. Afiko mana means take out the vessels to eat dessert. So there are different interpretations. But yeah, afikoman literally means dessert.
It comes from Hebrew?
No, it's not Hebrew. Aramaic. Okay. Gentlemen, are we ready to begin the magid? So there are two ways to do the magid. I could read and translate, or I could do it the way I do it at home. The way I do it at home is I do what I just did with you guys. I just explained to you the first portion. I just said, you know, this is the poor man's bread we ate back in Egypt. This is what our forefathers ate. So that's the first sentence which we're about to read. Halach ma'anya. What I do at home is I say it over to the kids in the language they understand. And then I read it in the Aramaic. Because Chazal wanted us to read the text. So I'm going to do it back and forth like that, okay? Unless you tell me you really want to see what each word means. But if you don't, if that's not critical to you, I think we should just do it like live. Let me explain what I'm doing, and then you'll see it in the words, okay? That's how I do my Seder at home. Yes, good evening, Emmanuel. It's exciting to see you here. Yes? No, I'm going to play games with the kids. I'm going to put it in my pillow. I'm going to put it under the tablecloth. I'm going to wait till they don't look and stick it into my kittel. And when they really don't look, I stick it into their pillow because that's the last place they look. And I create a dummy afikoman. So the kids grab it and only later discover that it's empty. No. It's excitement for the rest of the night. And I coordinate when they finally get it, when I feel like they're about to give up. So then somewhere around the Dayenu, I try to make sure they've stolen it around then, around Dayenu. And in our house, every child gets a gift. In some houses, they say only the one who stole it. But then you're making competition between the kids. I don't like that. I prefer lowering the budget, and each kid should get. They should all partner, help them unite. And for the week before Pesach, I'm already doing what my father used to do. And I'm talking to the kids and I'm saying, you know, all year long we tell you you're not supposed to steal. But I hear that this week they're teaching you in yeshiva to be thieves on the Seder night. I'm not going to let you get away with it. So I start setting up the scene and they're already, Ava, we're going to get you, we're going to get you, we're going to steal that night, right? So I try to build up to the Seder. They know I'm expecting them to steal it, right? They know the game. Okay, and at the Seder night also, I'll come home and say, I smell thieves in this house. I see people who want to rob me tonight. We got a problem here, right? It's part of the game. Okay, and they know it. Yeah. Okay, so we begin. So, this is the poor man's bread. We hold up the broken matzah. We show everyone our forefathers in Egypt ate like this. They ate broken bread. That was barely what they had to eat. Kol dechafin, whoever's hungry, yete ve'echolik, can come and eat. Look at how wealthy we are today. We have all these guests. We have three tables full over here. Kol ditzich, yete ve'yisach, whoever needs, can come and join our Pesach. Hashat ha'acha, this year we're here. But you should know, in the long run, we're still headed back. We're still the chosen people. V'shana ba ba'arad Yisrael, next year we will be in the land of Israel. If any of you have the unfortunate experience of again being in Chutzarts for a Seder, you better mean it when you say this. Okay? You belong here. Hashat Avdei, this year we're enslaved. L'shana ba'a b'nei chori, next year we hope we will attain complete freedom with the redemption. Now, we do the final sign of the night as though the meal is over. We want to get the child to start asking questions. So what we do is, we make believe the meal has concluded. So in ancient times, they would just remove everything from the table, and they'd pour the next cup of wine, which was always the way they'd start benching. Fill up the cups, let's start benching. Today, it would be very complicated for us to remove the table. That's not how we begin and end the meal. We don't bring a table and remove a table. So what we do is we cover the matzahs. In my house, I do a little bit more theatrics than that. I get up and I say to my wife, thank you, that was delicious. Guys, please clean up. Can you please put this away? Let's go. Let's get ready for benching, everyone. Open up the benching. Could you pour the cups for benching? And then, so sometimes I've had Machon Meir guys go, I came here for a meal. This isn't fair. Seder's over. So, right, that you have a good question, right? It's a good question, right? Let's discuss that a little bit. We have a little bit to discuss. We want to arouse within the children or the people present a question. That's why we do. This is the final act we're going to do that's unusual in the night. We make believe the meal is over, and so everyone's invited to pour their guest, the guy next to them, their neighbor, their next cup of wine, and we make believe we're headed towards benching. We want the child to be aroused to ask a question. In fact, we will hold the cup over the song of Hallel. We will hold the cup filled with wine over the song of Vihishamda. So we need the cup filled for other purposes as well. But what we're doing now is we're faking it. We want the child to say, what's going on here? Well, what meal, right? So I usually tell my wife, thank you, everything was delicious. And the kids look like, what was delicious? We didn't eat anything yet. I say, you didn't say thank you to Ima for all the delicious food. Okay, let's fill up our goblets.
It's after the first vegetables.
Yes, after Karpas, we move on to the second cup. We said Halach Ma'anya. We're beginning the Magid. We have inspired the children to start asking questions. And at this point, the children will ask us the four questions. We should all try to say every word in the Haggadah. If you fall behind, so catch up. The mind is full. Thank you.
And you should say all the words in Hebrew, or it doesn't matter?
If you can, you should say them in Hebrew, in the language of the Haggadah. Are we ready? So now we turn to the four questions the child will ask. The first question is, every other night when we bring an offering, there's chametz and matzah, because when we bring the Todah sacrifice to thank Hashem, so we have 40 loaves of bread, some are chametz, some are matzah. So the child is used to seeing matzah, right? In the Beit HaMikdash, they'd have matzah with the Todah sacrifice. But he says, tonight, I only see matzah. Are we saying thank you tonight? What's the meal all about? Abba's wearing Abba's wearing his sacrifice jacket, right? We said the kittel is the sacrifice robe. So why are we only eating matzah tonight? The second question the child will ask is, every other night we eat all kinds of vegetables. I see salads on the table. Tonight, not such an exciting array. I see horseradish. I see lettuce. Every other night, we don't dip so much. Tonight, we already dipped once, and I see you're ready to dip a second time. And finally, every other night, we sit however we want. And tonight, I see everyone's leaning like we all got something to celebrate. What's going on? Those are the four questions. We will sing the Manishtana now together. And move on. Man nishtana laila hazeh mikol halelot mikol halelot shel mechol halelot anu chamet u'matzah chamet u'matzah. She'al yerakot, she'al laila ze a laila ze ma אנו מקבילים אפילו פעם אחת
אפילו פעם אחת
הלילה הזה
הלילה הזה
שתי פעמים
הלילה הזה
הלילה הזה שתי פעמים שלכל הלילות אנו אוכלים בין יושבים ובין מסובים בין יושבים ובין מסובים הלילה הזה הלילה הזה כולנו מסובים הלילה הזה הלילה הזה כולנו מסובים.
So now we uncover the matzahs because we're about to answer the child's questions. And we want the broken matzah, right? This is our lechem oni. We uncover the matzahs and we will begin answering the questions. So we turn to the child and we say, this was bad. You know how bad it was? Our forefathers were slaves. Can you imagine what it is? You don't know when you're going to end work. You go out to work in the morning and you're thirsty. And the boss says, work! Can I get a drink? Bam! You get smacked in the head with a whip. You don't even ask next time for a drink. You just keep working. And you're working. And working. Until you don't know when. And at some point, they're going to let you stop and take a drink. Avadim ayinu lefarov Mitzrayim. We were in the worst place in the world. The place that were slave drivers. No slave ever escaped from Egypt. And in Egypt, even the slaves looked down at us. Meaning we were the worst of the worst. We were the lowest of the low. Everyone looked down at us. You know, there was this midget the size of this bottle. His name was Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was very wicked. You know, Pharaoh set up his men and he wanted everyone to hate the Jews. And we were slaves and everyone would look down at us. And they would beat us. And at night, we were so tired, we didn't even want to come home at night. I would end work at the end of the day and I'd be all in pain. And I'd sit down and your Ima would come to me and say, come home. And I'd say, why? Why would I come home? They're going to come and beat me and pull me out here to work again before I get any sleep. I'm going to sleep right here. And your Ima, you know how amazing your Ima is. She would bring me hot water. She worked harder than me. And she would bring me these pots with hot water and little fish, and she'd give me a massage, and she'd convince me to come back home. Avadim ayinu lefarov Mitzrayim. And then it seemed like everything was finished. We didn't have anything to hope for. And then Moshe shows up, and Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim in such a powerful way. The Makos, one after another, we're going to learn about them tonight, while the Mitzrayim gave up. They say, hey, you're the boss, man. ויוציאנו השם אלוקינו משם ביד חזקה וזרוע נטויה השם תוציאנו מצרים. Wow, with what power. ואילו לא הוציא הקדוש ברוך הוא אבותינו ממצרים. You know what? If that wouldn't have happened, tonight's the night. That's one of the themes we try to tell the children. Tonight is when it all happened. Tonight, if we go back, how many years? How many years ago? 2448. Right now we're in 5778. Guys, tell me, how many years has that been?
300.
What?
Roundabouts, 3300.
Well, not roundabouts. How many years? Let's get to the Seder knowing the number. 5778. Minus 2448. Nope.
5767.
How many years ago was it?
3330.
Okay, 3,330 years ago. Okay, 3,300 years ago on this night, kids, on this night was the plague of the firstborn, and in the morning we went free. And if that wouldn't have happened, so then you could imagine not sitting here at this table, but sitting on the floor, and all of us, you'd be called Ahmed. You'd be called, what? Give me a good name.
Yusuf.
Mustafa. Yusuf Mustafa, right?
Yeah.
Mustafa. Okay? And
there wouldn't be any
Jewish people. We'd all still be slaves back there in Egypt. That's why even if all of us are really smart, you know the story, right? Everyone knows the story. But we have a mitzvah tonight. We have a mitzvah tonight to tell over the story. And the more you tell, the better. And I'll tell you a story. Maaseh, there was a story by Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus didn't start learning until he was 28. The poor guy didn't know how to reach Shema Yisrael. His good friend and teacher was Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania, a genius who had a very ugly face, and he was a master of astronomy, and he was a Levite. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a Kohen, the descendant of Ezra the scribe, and Rabbi Akiva, who was the son of a convert, and Rabbi Tarfon, who was also a wealthy Kohen. All of them were sitting Shayum Subim Bivnei Brak, Vayum Subim Tzach Mitzayim Kolot Alayla. All night long they were telling the story. And they knew the story, right? They wrote the book. They wrote the Mishnah. These are the Tanaim of the Mishnah. And yet they sat all night long telling the story. So we shouldn't sit here and say, ah, I know. We start by telling the kid, don't say, I know. Tonight we're going to tell new parts to the story. And we're going to tell over the old story. Just like they sat all night till their students came and distracted them and say, hey, rabbis, you didn't realize, but in a minute we have to say Shema. The sun's coming out. So that's how engrossed they were in the story. That's where we want to get to, gentlemen. I anticipate that tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, at 5 o'clock, you'll tell me, Rabbi, when's Nates? We gotta say Kriyat Shema. That's where we're headed, okay? No, tonight we're not in any rush. If every other night I tell you, ask me on Thursday night, tonight's Thursday night. Tonight, we focus on the Seder. Now, at my house, I don't give the kids whole walnuts all year long. Why? Because I save it as a treat for the Seder. They can eat walnuts, but they won't get whole walnuts. Whole walnuts, they know, at the Seder night, anyone that asks a good question, I throw them a whole walnut. And the kids they start adding up questions and preparing for the Seder night so they could ask their questions on that night. That's like the delicacy of the Seder night. We get nutcrackers, and that's their fun of the Seder night. So coming back to, they have them all Pesach, right? All Pesach long. But all year long, they don't have that toy. They have every other toy they have. But that they know on the Seder night is when they could get whole walnuts. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Kvin Shvim Shnav Lozchit Shtem Eitzayin Tzayim Balilot, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, you know, it was as though I was 70 years old. I had 17 strands, 18 strands of white hair in my beard, even though I was a young man, but I was the leader. And I wanted that every night we should remember leaving Egypt, but the rabbis wouldn't agree, Ad Shedrasha ben Zoma, until ben Zoma taught, Shneman Amant Yiskot Yom Tzaytcham Yom Tzayin, Kol Mechecha Yom Mechecha Limin, Kol Mechecha Leilot, that when we look at the verse says, remember the Exodus from Egypt, all the days of your life. Why does it say all the days? To indicate that the days and the nights, all the days doesn't literally mean the daytime hours. It means throughout your life, every morning and every night. The sages used to say, that even after we have the days of the Messiah, we'll still remember leaving Egypt. And now we begin the Medrash. Whenever we begin a Medrash, so the Medrash will very often begin with the following blessing. Yes, sir.
What does it mean